So here in Isaiah 66, last week we looked at the first part of the chapter where God encouraged His people to get closer to Him, to serve Him, to be faithful to Him, to have that contrite spirit. Tonight, He continues His promises for the last days, starting in verse 10. He says, "Rejoice, ye which Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts for consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, and one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies." So tonight I've entitled the message, Peace Like a River. Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we go to your word tonight, Holy Spirit would use it in our lives to teach and grow us. Lord, to change us. And we count it a privilege to be able to come here and open the word of God together. And may you be glorified in this service. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So you can see many of these promises obviously have not come to pass yet for Jerusalem. They're still dispersed, as the Bible says, among the four corners of the earth. But God made promises to them that one day they would be regathered, and that has not been fulfilled yet. And most of these promises will take place when they are regathered, when they are given their kingdom, as God had promised to them. And one of the first promises he makes here in verse 12 is he said, "I will extend peace to her like a river." If there's any country that hasn't had peace for centuries, it would be Israel. And yet God says there will come a day when Israel will have peace like a river. Imagine that. I think there's a song that uses that phrase, actually. But if we could go to Isaiah 9, we'll be reminded that this peace will come with the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So notice that Jesus Christ here is prophesied of, that he would one day be a human, that he would be the incarnation of God. And it says that his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and then the final one, the Prince of Peace. So this earth will not have peace until the Prince of Peace comes. But when he does, notice it says in verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace." So Jesus' government will be a peaceful government. And the world will be ruled by him, as we know, from Jerusalem. Now look over the next chapter, Isaiah 10. It's talking about the remnant that God has promised to bless with peace. Notice verse 21. The Bible says, "For the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness." So did you notice there that as it's talking about Jehovah, it mentions that his name is also Mighty God there in verse 21. And we saw there in Isaiah 9:6 that one of Jesus' names is Mighty God and the Prince of Peace. And therefore we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, will bring peace to this earth when he brings his kingdom to this earth. Now how can we as Christians apply this to our lives? Well, the Bible teaches that during this age, the church age, we are promised peace as well. So our peace is different than the peace this is talking about. This is Israel as a nation having peace on earth, but we actually get peace now. which is quite exciting. We get not only peace with God, but the peace of God through Jesus Christ. So we'll start in Romans 5 just to be reminded about this amazing peace that God gives us. And in Romans 5, we are taught that first of all, through Jesus, we have peace with God. Remember, the Bible teaches that because of sin, we have enmity with God. We are His enemy. And the Bible says that God cannot look on sin. He has a purer eyes than to behold evil. Sin is not allowed into God's presence. But, as we notice here in Romans 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Why can we have peace with God? Because we become justified by faith, as we see there in verse 1. When we are born again, God justifies us. He makes us righteous through Jesus. Most of us know 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When we are born again, God gives us Christ's righteousness. It's an amazing transaction that takes place. And when that happens, now the Bible says we have peace with God through Jesus. That enmity is removed because of what Christ did on Calvary, and we are made righteous in Christ, and we have peace with God. But after we receive that righteousness, after we're justified through Jesus Christ's sacrifice and His resurrection, the Bible then promises us the peace of God. And those are two different things. The peace with God comes with salvation. Jesus Christ becomes the mediator and the barrier of sin is removed. But once we're born again, then through the Holy Spirit who indwells us, we now have the peace of God. Most of us know Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The third one, peace. The Holy Ghost who indwells us gives us access to this peace that the world doesn't understand. John 14, let's turn there quickly. John 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ talked about this peace that only He can give. John 14, verse 27. One of Christ's promises to us as believers in the church age, He says, peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world's a mess. The world is wicked. It keeps getting worse and worse. Jesus says, our heart doesn't need to be troubled. Why? Because He is going to give us peace. This is a peace that comes from within. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not a peace that we can drum up from our own strength. It's peace that God gives. And then most of us, of course, know Philippians 4. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's it say? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. The world can't understand the peace of God. How can a Christian have peace in the midst of conflict? How can a Christian have peace when they lose a loved one? Because the Holy Spirit indwells us and gives us that peace as we lean on Him. So Israel's promised peace like a river in the future. We're promised peace now through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God and the peace of God. But God goes further back in our passage. Not only is He promising them peace like a river, but the Bible says He promises to one day comfort them. Notice it says in verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Israel, for centuries, has been in this state of chastisement, sadly, because of their disobedience, because of their rejection of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there will come a day when that all ends. The same time that they get the peace, they also will receive this amazing comfort. Go to Isaiah 51 now, and we'll see this promise, Isaiah 51, verse 3, of God's comfort. And the promises that God made to Israel will come to pass. Isaiah 51, verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. The Lord shall comfort Zion. So what can we draw from this? Well, again, like the peace that we get now through Jesus, we also get the comfort through Jesus. Remember what Jesus said when he was on the earth? He said, I will give you another comforter. He says, when I leave, I will send him. Matter of fact, the Holy Ghost's name, one of his names is the Comforter. One of the things that he does for us is, as indwelling us, the Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, is he gives us that amazing comfort that can only come from God in the midst of hurt and trials. Go to 2 Corinthians 1 and we'll see this, where God is even referred to as the God of all comfort. Writing to us as Christians, God promises to be there for us and to comfort us, as you'll see here, in all our tribulation and troubles. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Isn't that beautiful? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God is teaching here that he not only comforts us himself through the person of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, but he will also bring people into our lives who will help comfort us when we are in, as he says, troubles and tribulations. People who have been through what we're going through, God will send them to us to help comfort us because he's the God of all comfort. So Israel has been promised peace like a river, and this amazing comfort of Zion. We, as God's people, have those things already. Hallelujah. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace like a river. We have the comfort of God through the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And then lastly, and notice Isaiah 66, verse 14. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. God says there will come a day when this hand of chastisement will be removed, and instead it will be this hand of uplifting, of encouragement, of help. That God's anger will be abased, be removed, and his encouragement and help will come instead. Notice Isaiah 41:10 this time. Isaiah 41:10. God speaking again to Israel, what is to come. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Look at this last phrase. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, we as God's children can claim this too, but this is primarily given to Israel. But those of us that are Christians, we have the hand of the Lord now. If God be for us, who can be against us? God's on our side. The Bible says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And most of us know Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God makes these beautiful promises to his nation Israel, his chosen people, but these are all yet future for them. These things won't happen until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and makes them real. And the kingdom that they've been waiting for, the kingdom that they asked for just before the ascension, they will finally have. And when that kingdom comes, they will have peace like a river. They will have the comfort of God, and they will have the hand of the Lord on their side, uplifting them, and as it says there, and fighting against their enemies, indignation against their enemies. That hasn't been the case up to now. Instead, the enemies have been part of God's tool of chastisement against Israel. But for those of us that are born again, hallelujah, we have peace like a river now. We were given the peace with God through Jesus Christ. We're given the peace of God whenever we need it. Doesn't the Bible say to come boldly under the throne of grace? to find mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. It's there. The peace of God is ready and available through the Holy Spirit. When we need it, God will send it. Same with the comfort. There's going to come times in our Christian lives when we need comfort. And God refers to Himself as the God of all comfort. He will comfort us through the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He's referred to as the Comforter multiple times in the Gospel of John. That's His name. And He indwells us when we're born again. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. And then lastly, the Bible says here that the hand of the Lord will be on their side. Of course, God's hand is already on our side. Hallelujah. As it says, who's on the Lord's side? We are on His side, but I should say He's on our side more. And God says that. If you would look at Romans and chapter 8, I think I quoted this, but it's good to look at it. Verse 31. Notice verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Us and God make a majority. Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Praise God. We're on the winning side already through Jesus. So these promises to Israel are beautiful. God winding up this long prophecy through Isaiah. He's going to bless Israel with these things in the future. But He's already blessing us now in the church age through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace like a river, we can claim that. Comfort, we already have it. He indwells us in the person of the Holy Ghost. And the hand of the Lord, it's already on our side. Not because we deserve it or earned it, because of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Such a blessing to be reminded of these promises. Next week, Lord willing, we'll finish Isaiah and then move on to Jeremiah. But we can only but praise God for His kindness to us. Amen. Let's pray.